Mr. Palmer, Reel 4. We were talking about your training with the at Spennymoor, based at the drill hall, with the Durham Light Infantry attached to the depot, I suspect. And we were talking about the instructors. So it's obvious that the one you had didn't swear, but some of them did, if you see what I mean. So there were different standards, but yours was very good. Were they? I mean, you were a professional teacher, if fairly inexperienced. How were they at actually getting information across to raw recruits? You weren't a raw recruit, you'd been through OTC. Yes. But how do you think they were at actually doing their job in the sense of training men quickly and effectively?
Very good indeed. I think they knew what they were up against, obviously. A lot of them were no culture, they couldn't even march in step. You always got one like that. And I could see it could be tremendously irritating. No, of course they used to bawl and shout on the parade ground, because that, in a way, was the done thing. I often wonder why they perhaps are not taught to use their voices more in the army, so that they don't get too hoarse. But nearly all became very hoarse gentlemen, if not horsey.
When they were teaching something complicated, did you feel that they really knew it, or that they'd learnt it by rote and were just teaching by rote?
I felt that they knew it.
So they knew it inside out?
Yes, that's what I felt.
And did they convey any sense of enthusiasm in teaching what they were teaching?
Yes, some of them did. That's fair to say.
So that varied?
Yes. And also to point out as well that when it comes to the training people, not just merely at Spennymoor, but if you got into one of the carrier training sections up there, what really happened was that many of those men, particularly the sergeant that we have, I was going to say, tell you, for instance, I think must have put him for a commission, because he was of the type for a commission. And, of course, there were many others. Now, our Sergeant Major, in the 16th Battalion...
Now, that's a bit later on.
That's later on.
Now, I'll come back to that.
He was also in that area, attached to Glasgow.
Right. Do you remember his name?
Yes. I will in a minute, I remember.
Okay, we'll see when that pops out. So you were being trained. What was a typical day like? You were sleeping. Let's start it from the beginning, in a sense. You were, when you went to sleep, did you have actually beds of any sort in the drill hall, or were you just on the floor?
Just on the floor. I don't think they would have allowed anybody to bring a camp bed.
I suggested
that the Tucker sergeants didn't have them, but we slept on the floor.
So, what you were with blankets, I presume.
Oh yeah.
And what time would you get up in the morning, roughly? Was it an early start?
Yes. Now then, I don't.
Don't worry about the exact times, and I can tell you that. So, what would you do first when you got up? You get up. Did you? Would you? You would revamp.
Cleaned up.
Did they have washing facilities for so many men?
Yes.
Or were they just standpipes outside?
Well, there would be standpipes, yes. You had to go and wash outside, but that was all right.
And then, after washing, what would be the first part of the day?
Breakfast.
And what did you think of army food? That was your first time with real army food.
Nothing spectacular. Very ordinary, but as a downside law, of course, perhaps the civilian population would get used to, because I think that restrictions came in very soon.
So you got enough of it, and as far as you were concerned, it was cooked in a reasonable manner?
Yes.
No complaints about the food?
No.
What about lack of variety? Any problem?
It was stew and the rest of it. I don't say that it was adventurous, it wasn't.
But it didn't bother you,
lack
of adventure, you know.
No.
So after breakfast, You'd have the normal training sessions.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The drill, were you doing the light infantry pace? Because you wouldn't have been doing the light infantry pace
not
with the yeomanry.
Not all the time, but you'd have to start doing it fairly quickly.
And how did you find that? Because that would be new to you, wouldn't
very
it?
Very awkward for a tall person. I was pretty nearly 6 feet then. I'm about, 5 feet 10 now, I suppose. Yes, it was. That was difficult. But you just put up with it. I just put up with things. And I enjoyed when we went out on marches, wood marches and this sort of thing. That didn't bother me. I was used to it.
How far would you go on a route march?
Oh, well, it would start off and we'll say 3 miles down. We used to march. No, I'm thinking of later on down Bradsworth. We used to go out on a possibly about 3 mile, 4 mile, but they would follow religiously the stopping after 50 minutes and having, so 9:50 till 10 was it. You sat back and they also taught you, of course, to put your feet up so that, you know, if the blood would go to the right part.
So, you did
have a smoke.
Did you smoke?
Ah, this is an interesting part. I was a pipe smoker. I never bothered with cigarettes. So when the allowances came along, I used to give all my cigarettes away.
So, you'd light up a pipe in the period, the 10 minutes. What anything else about the march? How would the local population react round Spennymoor when you went walking round, marching round there?
Now that is something I do remember. We used to go in the streets where there were houses. They took them along there deliberately, and they used to march them up and down and go through the drill. And you know when it stopped for the 10 minutes, out would come the cups of tea and the rest of it. I mean, that early on in the war, it had been going on then 9 months. People had settled down up to a point. But I mean, it hadn't got to the point where, oh, they're drilling outside again. You know. The Durham people, a good lot.
So that's route marches. Now, drill that we've covered. Was there anything new about, for instance, rifle training? Learning to. I mean, you already knew how to shoot a Lee Enfield.
Yes.
And this is what you mentioned. The sergeant. I mean, you could spot that you'd fired a Lee Enfield before.
Well, he could spot anyway whether I fired it. He could spot that I knew the drill, and I knew it immaculately enough. I wasn't so immaculate as far as my person was concerned. I didn't pay the attention to that, but certainly I was immaculate with the rifle drill and the rest of it. And we had to do guards. This is an interesting point in the training there. We used to do a guard once a week or more.
Was that on the drill hall itself, or?
No. That was, I think that was at the local school. Anyway, it was down in the town. It wasn't at the drill hall where we were built it. It was down in Spennymoor. And there were two of us on. And we used to go through all the business of marching, you know, we were trained to do this in opposite directions, come back, halt, left turn, right turn, and what presents arms, but certainly ground arms or whatever. It wasn't ground arms, what was it? I've even forgotten that.
Doesn't matter, doesn't it? So, you had guard duties. Did you get much chance to fire your rifles in the area? Was there a range nearby that you went to?
We did. Where we went, I couldn't tell you.
And again, it will have showed that you'd fired a rifle before. Was there any question of them asking, of them promoting you or asking you, making you a Lance Corporal, or for instance asking you to consider being an officer? Did this arise at this point?
The question of the Lance Corporal did, and I remember that we went from Spennymoor, a group went to Bassett, and we did a course there. I wasn't brilliant on the machine gun or anything like that. They had, of course, the brain, but their bayonet training was pretty vigorous.
What did you do? Was a bayonet training part of the course? What did you have to do?
Oh, sticking up a bag and running up to it and going through all the various bits of drill and making sure you would do it properly and not sideways and this sort of thing. And then going on to the next one, and you would probably do that up to about three of them.
Were they still training people to shout, scream and shout as they charge?
Yes.
What did you think of all that, of bayonet training anyway?
Well, it's
could you see any point?
I didn't particularly like it.
Why not?
Why not? Well, I thought in a way it's very animal-like. And, of course, later on, when it comes on to mentioning yes, hearing the Germans doing the Sedgley, he can terrify you out of your wits. You have to be on the other end of it, there's no doubt about that. It works, and if you've got imagination, you sort of imagine yourself at the other end of that.
So that's part of why you didn't like doing it, was because the whole thing...
Partly that, I used to do it and do it properly, but...
That's bad. Now, the Bren, what Bren training did you receive?
I can't remember receiving a great deal when I went on this course. Whether I'd done Bren training before that or not, I can't remember.
What did you think of the Bren gun as a weapon?
I thought it was pretty good.
What were its advantages?
It was light. Easily maneuverable. It was fairly easy to load. I can't compare it with other weapons because I don't know anything about the Smeissers or those that were used by the Germans. They may have had a more rapid fire rate than possibly the Bren, but I don't think they were any more accurate.
Were you taught to strip down the Bren?
Yes.
Did you see much point to that, or...? Did you
yes, I could see the point to it, but I wasn't particularly quick at it. I tried to be, but I wasn't.
What about the Vickers, the heavy machine gun? Were you shown that?
I don't ever remember that.
And what about other weapons? Grenades? Were you given
We used grenades. And I think I mentioned.
You mentioned that. Do you remember where you were actually the actual training? You'd actually throw a live one, I would imagine, by then.
A live one, yes.
Were you some people are nervous of hand grenades, the Mills bomb.
Yes.
Were you nervous of them at all?
Not really. I just knew that you were stupid if you didn't listen and follow what was done. All the other people I used to look at the non-commissioned officers who had to do it. They had a terrible job, but they didn't know that some clown wouldn't make a mistake.
What was the most common mistake that people made? What was it that people feared?
Oh, well, it was a question of that somebody would let go if they'd got, they would let go of the thing before they should let go of it. And you were more or less trained to wait, and then somebody, if I remember rightly, somebody would tell you when to throw it. And it would be a few seconds after you'd been holding it, waiting it. So that you learned, I suppose, not to throw it. Mind you, I never had to throw any in action.
No, this is training we're talking about. This is
training, but I mean, I can see the point of it for all those that were in the rifle companies, for instance.
How far do you reckon you were a cricketer? How far could you throw it, or bowl it, or however? I believe a lot of people round armed them.
Oh yes, I used to do it. I used to do it this way. I used to bowl cricket, and I got used to the idea of coming high and. But that was another thing, because if people couldn't throw them, you know, they could just ricocheted off as high as a dugout.
You practiced throwing them from a trench, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh yes, yes. You know, we were in a proper sort of dugout.
Did you see any other sorts of grenades other than the Mills? I think it's 36 or.
Don't remember any.
What about any of the light mortars, the 2-inch mortar or the 3-inch, the heavier one? Were you introduced to them at all?
Yes.
Did you practice firing them?
I don't remember. Must have done.
What about the boys' anti-tank rifle?
Yes. Yes, I think we had training with that too.
Do you remember that at all? What you thought of it?
Cardiff had all that amount of time on these, but certainly we were showing them, and we were certainly got down, and we were shown the position for it and how to fire them and how to load them.
What about submachine guns? It's a bit early, perhaps, for them. But were you interested?
The submachine gun was really. Was in there. I don't think it reached. The regiments until later.
What about gas training?
Yes, we went through gas.
What exactly would you do?
Put on our masks and went through and stood in it and took our masks off for a second and put them back on again to get a whiff of it. But of course, didn't. Very careful instructions as to what to do.
What was it like wearing a gas mask? Was it
awful?
In what
awful.
Way?
Well, it fits tightly around there, and you can't breathe all that well. And of course, your voice is—you can't speak. You can't talk. You can't answer back.
Any other weapons training or defensive weapons that you recall? Before we go, now another thing you might have is tactical training.
Yes.
What sort of things were you doing there? While you were at Spennymoor, I'm thinking of here, not when you joined the battalion.
Oh, yes, well, you went through all the business of section training.
What were the basic principles then that you were trying to teach you in section training?
Teach them, for instance, that if they got too close together, they became more of a sitting target. So you spread in order that the fire on the other side would be spread. And you use the cover where you could use it. But of course, you worked on a sort of precise command, whether it was a light moment or not. Like down, up, advance, down, and this sort of thing. Any second.
This is in 1940. Had things moved on since you were doing it in the early 30s with the OTC?
Not all that much.
Same sort of tactics?
Same sort of tactics.
Did you do any exercises? You know, where you actually had a pretend enemy and umpires?
Yes.
And what were they like?
We didn't always get to know the results. But I can remember one or two, but to be perfectly honest, you'll be asking me really about a period that is a bit dim.
Did they do any endurance training on the moors at all?
Don't remember that. I don't think we did. You mean staying out all night?
Or night exercise, but yes, just basically depriving you of sleep and.
No, I don't remember any.
Any live firing exercises?
Yes.
Where they fired above you?
Yes.
How did you feel about that? Did it worry you?
Necessary.
It didn't worry you then?
Didn't worry
me. Now, anything else about training before while you were at Spennymoor?
No. I went for an interview in connection with a commission. Somebody, I put my name forward, but nothing came of it.
Do you remember the interview at all?
No. I think it was, all I remember is I think it was an interview from the same person who interviewed me when I joined up.
And you still weren't that keen?
No.
Had you become a Lance Corporal, after that course, the cadre course?
Well, yes, but of course we were at Bransford. And after that course was over, I can't tell you now how it actually happened.
You didn't go back to...
We were sent. We had our stripes up. And we were sent down in the end, I can't remember the date or how long the courses lasted, but it was after Dunkirk, because I was still spending more then, because we helped to feed the troops that had come back from Dunkirk. We were sent down to join 50 Div, and I was sent down to join the 8th Baron.
Right, well, I'll come back to that then, because that's moving on. So, while you were at particularly at Spennymoor, you'd have a morning session of training, then an afternoon meal, lunch or dinner, then some more training. And then in the evening you'd be free, I presume.
Yes.
Now, would you spend a lot of time preparing for kit inspections? I mean, were the kit inspections...
Yes. Yeah, I had a lot of kit inspections.
Now, you said this wasn't your...
No.
Your best thing.
Just pass. I don't ever remember on that side of it, ever getting any kind of person who sort of looked and said, that's really good.
Why do you think you weren't so good at it? Was it just that you weren't interested, or
I'm naturally a tidy person.
So you just couldn't get your shoes in the right state?
No.
So, did you get into trouble?
I didn't get into trouble, no.
So it was just, you didn't stand out?
I didn't stand out.
So you wouldn't win the
stick? Stand out one way or the other.
You wouldn't win the stick?
I just kept in the middle.
You know, when they had a guard, dude.
Yes.
And then the other thing about, would you be allowed out in the evening? To you know.
I don't ever remember going out in there. All I seem to remember is at the end of the day, you were pretty tired. Oh, I do remember, well, this may be important to you, you haven't asked me, but we got very early on, almost as soon as we got there, we had our injections. And we had that deadly stuff where you had to be off 48 hours, and they insisted on this, and you had to lie down, and you weren't to drink or anything. Of course, the people was possibly stupid, didn't carry out the instructions. So you have a drink, and of course that would kill part of the effectiveness of what they had.
How did the injections affect you?
TAB, that was the
Tab.
One.
How did it affect you? Some people have a bad arm afterwards for a while. Did you have any trouble?
Sure.
They didn't swell up?
No.
So that's
no, I didn't have to go to see the MO or anything.
And you didn't go out socialising in the evening?
No.
Was there a canteen for you or anything?
Yes, there was a canteen. Now I come to think of it. And you would go and sit in there and have tea. But I can't. I've got very vivid memories of certain parts of the war.
But not this part.
Not this.
Well, let's summarise. So, at the end of your time at Spennymoor, you went on the Lance Corporal's course at Bransperth, which we've already indirectly covered as well, joined in with it, really. And then you were posted to the 8th DLI, 151 Brigade, 50th Div. You don't know when exactly that was, but it would be in the summer of 40, I presume.
Yes.
And where were they when you joined them? That'll help us track it down.
Well, I went to B Company, which was at Maiden Union. Obviously, they weren't front line. They were in reserve, put it this way, at that point. They were people that had come back from Dunkirk. They were then, you might say, they were veterans, really, in a sense. They'd had, because they'd had a pretty distinguished time there, I mean, the 50s had done very well.
No.
And I went there, but of course, as soon as I went there with this stripe on, you can tell, you know exactly what happened to it.
You lost it.
I was told to take it off more or less immediately. I think one or two of them were very likely to say, I think I wish you warned me, one or two of the NGOs, that we will have to remove that. And of course, the sergeant major, company sergeant major, would make sure that that was carried through.
That was fairly standard when you joined a battalion to lose a lance corporal stripe.
I expect so, he had no. So, now, before very long, I was only just maybe a week or two with B Company, and before long I was transferred to battalion headquarters as a clerk, which happened to be at Morecambe Lake.
Now, I just want to ask one thing. When you joined them, they were a territorial battalion. Now, they'd had a lot of reinforcements after the campaign. But you were essentially a conscript, in the sense you'd been called up. You know, you hadn't volunteered anyway. I mean, that you'd waited until you knew you were going to. You hadn't tried to avoid it, I'm not saying that. But was there any edge between the two groups within the 8th Battalion, between the territorials and the conscripts and even the regulars? There were some regulars in the reservists.
There may have been a little when I was with B Company. There may have been a little bit.
How did it show itself, if it did?
Oh. I just think treating you perhaps with a little bit of reserve and just worrying about it. Nothing that you could pin down and say, well, that's downright objectionable, that's nasty. They were quite friendly in their way, but they made sure that you knew that they were experienced and you weren't. Fair enough, I've got no complaint. They would do that naturally, just as...
So it may not have been that they were territorials and you were not. It may have just been that they'd been in action and you hadn't.
There was never any question on that at all. They knew that eventually they'd have to rely upon, obviously, upon conscripts. Anyway,
how about you as a southerner? Because you were a southerner, even though you'd been born in Yorkshire. Was there any edge on that when you joined an active service battalion? Well, the 8th.
No, I don't remember any. There may have been one or two who sort of may have tried to take me on. No, I don't think so. I always got on well on the whole with the men. Never any problem there. I always felt they knew that I was a school teacher. In those days, teachers were respected. And they, as I say, they were a bit reserved with you, but on the whole, they were friendly.
So your teaching, being a teacher, gave you a status above the normal job.
I think it helps, but then I didn't push anything.
I didn't
push anything at all.
It was something that they felt. Not that you felt you deserved. But
I had to get used to them because I hadn't had all that much experience apart from the fact that I taught the children of people who lived in the Northeast. I hadn't had much to do, obviously, with the adults till I joined up.
Just one thing. Did the accent ever cause you problems, even from when you first went to Newcastle? I mean, did the...
Oh, yes, it did a little bit. But it's fairly broad, but it's, on the whole, it's fairly clear. Particularly on vowels and consonants, it's very clear, and I mean, they might say, "What's your Geordie?" You know, but it's there, and it's quite easy to follow.